Thanks, guys. Yeah, grab your seats. Praise God. I'm on. Good deal. I am on. The last place it was at, my mic wouldn't get no sound. He said it worked, and it works. Good, good, good. Everybody doing good? I'm really honored to be here. I heard this was like for young folks, and then I saw the young in heart slipping in, too. But I'm really glad to see so many. Hey, Stephen, I'm so glad to see so many young people. I'm just going to be honest. That's why I'm here, because I heard it was for the youth. I don't normally do midweek things. I just got back in town from 8 days on Tuesday, and normally I would have just said no to whatever opportunity I had. But when I heard it was the teenagers, I said, yeah, I'll be there. And there's a reason. There's a reason you have your whole life ahead of you. And it's not that somebody three times your age is less valuable. It's just that you have all this time to write a legacy and all this time to live purpose. And I want to talk about some things tonight. And I feel serious. I feel passionate. I'm sure we'll laugh as well. I'm not going to be overbearing and overwhelming tonight. Hopefully the truth will overwhelm our hearts, though. I'm convinced of this. We can be in all these right settings and sing all these right songs. You can come up to an altar and get prayed for 1,000 times. But it's about you personally, individually, giving your own heart to what you believe is truth through Jesus' life and His Word and get to know Him in that place. It's about you continuing in the truth and the truth keeping you in a place of freedom. Because if you're not careful, you'll start letting life speak louder than truth. You'll just get caught up in saga and drama. We're to grow from faith to faith, not drama to drama. It's like all of a sudden he said this and she did that and oh my gosh and I can't believe and how come? And it's just, guys, it's a zero. It's a rat race. It makes sense to men. It's the way that seems right to feel, to express, to react, but it doesn't ever produce life. And I'm just telling you, nothing, I'm going to be bold with this and straight, all right? Nothing around you has to even be right for you to be all right. I'm just telling you, we got to get a strong gospel. Young people, be careful with this, that you really listen and hear, that we're not in all the right places, young and old alike. I grew up in a youth group. I don't even believe I was born again. I just went because it was fun and I made friends. And I had friends at school and I had friends at church. But I never thought about Jesus, never prayed to Jesus, never talked to Jesus, and never read my Bible. But I went to church. Church attendance isn't Christianity, but continue to gather yourself together. Of course, this is right. It's Christ-likeness that's Christianity. It's being like Him. And here's the deal. Wow. Is my message that good? I just started. It's like, whoa. No, you bear with me, people. Please, I'm not against ministry, altar calls, and all the stuff I've seen. But here's what I've seen. I'm only saved 21 years in June. It went fast. It sounds long. It's not that long, really. It's a wisp. But it's long enough to learn some things. And I've seen folks touched 100 times. I've seen folks cry at an altar, and sometimes it looks good. And the real reason they're crying is because they're cycling, not because they're getting free. And there's a lot of stuff that goes on in ministry. And I'm just telling you, living for truth and being a steward of your own conscience and waking up in the morning and keeping your eyes fixed on what in your heart you know is right in God is a big deal. It's a big deal. And I want to explain some things about why God sent His Son, because we were singing tonight and it just came on my heart. And I want to make sure everybody in this room, who in here, I know this is my home church, so this is, you know, my house and a lot of people met me from around, who never actually heard me share and preach. Is there a bunch of you? Is there a handful? Let me see you, please. Oh, that's good. That's a bunch of you. Wow, you're not sitting over there. You're all right here and here. Oh, is this everybody that knows me section or what? There's like 2 hands. So that was a bunch of people. So the people that know, you know, the stuff that I preach all the time, bear with me. Let it keep your heart sharp. But for their sake, the ones that went like this, I want them to really grab a hold of where we're going tonight and what we're saying, okay? And it should be good because Hebrews chapter 2 says, take earnest heed of the things you've heard. Take earnest heed of the things you've heard, lest they slip away. You have to be real careful that you don't hear something that's life-changing and say, wow, that meant a lot to me. Wow, that made sense. Wow, I got touched when you preached that. I can't tell you how many people say, man, I was listening to you and I was transformed. And then 2 weeks later, they call you and they're crying and hurt over something and cycling because they're letting life speak louder than that truth. You could get caught with this stuff, guys. You could say, man, but you don't know what I'm going through. And I've been through this and this and this. And they did this and this and this. And I'd be in a different place if it wasn't for this and this and this. But you got to understand, the whole time you're saying that, this and this and this isn't Lord. So we let things govern our life and matter more that don't matter most. So here's the truth. God made man in His image. And you heard Matt say that. Jason was talking while we're worshiping. He's talking about Jesus changing us and seeing us apart from our sin. And that when Jesus died, He made us right and didn't see us for our sin. That by no means, and He didn't say anything wrong. I want to bring clarity to what anybody might hear when they hear that preaching. Most people won't preach that because they think we're saying sinning's okay and hey, it's all right. God loves me anyway. No, no, no. God loves us for what He and who He created us to be. Like, in other words, God created you for purpose. Young people, listen carefully. God made you for His image. Read your Bible. In the beginning, God said, let us make man in our image, and in the likeness of God, He made man. Trouble is, we haven't lived God's image. We live the fall of man. Everyone lived for me, myself, and I. Even my I love you was for me. Our friendships are what we can get out of them. That's why we get hurt by our best friends and never talk again. Come on, we get in things for what we can get out of things instead of how we can become like Him and what we can give. You can't say, I love you, do you love me? You just can't do that. It's not love. All you're saying is, I need you. I need what I get out of you. I need how you make me feel. I need what you do for me. And if that ever changes, then we change. So it can't be love, because love never fails, and love seeks not its own, and love takes no record of wrong. So why are we so broken up? Maybe we don't love like we say. Maybe we're moved emotionally in a strong way because we so need, and we're receiving life and value and identity and esteem through things instead of truth. The Bible says you can be fulfilled in Christ. You can know the love of Christ, Ephesians chapter 3, which passes knowledge. You can be filled with all God's fullness. I looked up that word. The fullness of God means a house with no empty rooms. Wouldn't it be good to be so fulfilled you're not for sale? You got a no vacancy sign over your life because you're fully occupied. Wouldn't that be good? You know what it means? It means a town with no empty houses. It means a ship so full of cargo, there's no room to place one more box. That's the Christian life. Complete and fulfilled in Him. Do we need one another? Absolutely. To fulfill this great commission, to be an army rising up and covering the earth with His glory, even the body of Christ, a church service flowing together. Of course we need one another that way. But watch this, guys. And please listen closely. I never am supposed to need you to know who I am. I find myself through Him. Because if I need to find myself through you, I'm only as good as you're seeing me. And now I'm still insecure, but I'm in all the right places, singing all the right stuff, believing all the wrong things. You guys with me? Yes. Come on. We can live this way. We can be complete. The thing is, we were trained by a lie. We were brought up in a wisdom that's not God because we were raised up in the fall of man. And I'm going to explain it real clear for us today. See, Adam ate a tree called the knowledge of good and evil, and he got cut off from God. And God said, it's the day you surely die. You have to understand, before he ate that tree, he's one with God and in the image of God. And the image of God is love. We know that. We know the Bible says God is love. So this is so exciting to me. Watch this. God made man to love. And everyone in this room, all we recognize is our desperate need to be loved. Come on. To fit in. To not be rejected. To be cool. To be accepted. To not be talked bad about. For people to gain esteem and reputation in the eyes of men. Come on. It's a rat race. From the time we can remember, everybody in this room was looking for love, acceptance, value. Nobody's void of that rat race. Some people chase after more extreme than others. Some get destroyed. Some become hard in a fighter. Some get crushed. But everybody's in that rat race. God made man to love, and Adam was loved and filled with God. Even his relationship with Eve, it wasn't born out of loneliness. It wasn't born out of the way we know things today. He's looking at Adam, and he's completely filled with God. He's fulfilled in the Lord. And he says, there's no one comparable. There's no one to multiply this image. There's no one on the earth like everything else he made had a comparable partner. There's no one. People say, see, he needed man. He was lonely. Are you kidding me? He was fulfilled. He didn't make another lump of clay. He reached into the fullness of God in man and he brought out a woman. She was already there in him. It's amazing. So he took what was one and made it two so two could be one in his image. I say, man, if there's a woman in a man's life, now that we know the truth, it ought to be because of the fullness of God in the man. It shouldn't be. I'm not getting any younger. Hey, I'm a little lonely. You know, I'd love to have a family. I guess they'll work. It's just straight, huh? They're hot. Yeah, they're good looking. Ooh, wow, what? He likes you? Ah! Come on. And all of a sudden, your relationship is what you can get out of it instead of out of the strength of what you've become. And that's why things start off hot and good and don't seem to stay that way in so many cases. And we say, well, you got to keep the fire burning. No, no, no. You got to keep the truth alive. It's not to keep a fire burning. It's to keep truth alive. It sets your face to the plow and wake up every morning and understand personally your reason for being and separate everybody else's influence in that, and you decide what you're going to do with truth in this gospel. Come on. Or you're going to say, well, I wouldn't be in this place if it wasn't for so-and-so. Come on, that's utter deception. If Jesus took that mentality, he'd have never made it to the cross. He heals the sick and they try to decide what evil spirit he's motivated by. And he kept healing the sick. He preaches the truth and they call it blasphemy and he just keeps preaching the truth. He starts getting beat for doing good and never bad. He doesn't drop the cross and say, I had enough. He doesn't say, how dare you punch me in the mouth. He doesn't drop the cross halfway to Golgotha and say, I ain't doing this. He's a bunch of stiff-necked people. God, look what they're doing to me. I've done nothing but good. I've healed their sick. I've cleansed their lepers. I've raised their dead. I've fed their hungry. And this is what they do to me. God, if they didn't change by now, they'll never change. I am not dying on that cross. No, he didn't say that. Why? You say, because he's Jesus. Because he's love. Don't rob yourself of this and just say because he's Jesus and making some special individual. Church is notorious. Well, that was Jesus. No, that was love. You're looking at love and love said, follow me, not sing to me and pray to me when you're struggling. Love said, follow me. Come on, you can let something matter more that doesn't matter most. That's your choice. That's why we're called believers. Come on. And I'm sorry people's done us wrong. I'm sorry we were touched wrong. Come on, I didn't have a daddy growing up and he never said I love you. There was alcoholism there, poverty, screaming, yelling, arguing. I cried a lot at night thinking mom was going to leave. I understand some stuff. What does any of that have to do with anything now that I know him? I don't find fulfillment through my dad. I find fulfillment through him. If you're trying to drink from a dry cup, of course you're thirsty. Why don't you drink from a river that never runs dry? You just take one drink. Just one drink. And you'll never thirst again. What's that mean? You look at him and find out who you are. You find your identity, you find your purpose, and you find your reason for being. You just don't pray a prayer to go to heaven. Heaven comes back inside of you, and you get restored back to the beginning where you can walk again and pursue his image and be formed in his image and actually walk in love. Well, you can have issues if you choose to, or you can be a believer and follow Jesus. I'm still saying any straighter than that, guys. So why'd Jesus do something so radical? Why'd he do what Jason, the worship leader, said? Why would he do that on the cross to make you clean even though we were in sin? And why we were yet sinners, he sent his son. Guys, this is the most beautiful thing. It's relational. It's union with God. It's amazing. It's not like, well, it's the right thing to do. Yeah, I probably shouldn't do that. I probably give more attention to this. It's not like that. In the gospel, see, I quit going to church about 18 years old. By the time I was 20, I went a little with my wife because we were hooking up and going to get married. So we went to counseling and the pastor's going to marry. So we went back to church. As soon as we got married, I quit going. I didn't get it. I was tired of that same old message. Jesus died on the cross because I'm a sinner. Now I just feel bummed because I believed he did. I believed he died. I believed he was real. But why? I'm a sinner. Why is he dying for me? Why does he want me in heaven when he doesn't feel real? Anybody ever think that way? Anybody hear the gospel that way? My whole life, Jesus died on the cross because I'm a sinner. Jesus died on the cross because I'm a sinner. Nobody ever told me that he died to redeem my destiny, my value, my purpose, my calling, and put his life back inside of me. He showed me that in my bedroom. Right when I got saved. And all this time I was living for me. Bummer. All this time I thought if God would just change you, maybe life would be better, you know? Just tweak you a little bit and maybe you could endure. Isn't that something how we think? Well, they need to knock it off. Maybe you need to just see a little different. Because if God just came to you and said, you need to knock it off, you probably wouldn't have a whole lot of hope and encouragement. See, here's what you have to understand about God. His love never fails. He didn't wake up for you to break his heart today and hurt his feelings because love takes no account of a suffered wrong. Now, I understand he doesn't slumber, so don't write me a letter. God doesn't sleep. He woke up this morning. I you know what I meant. We relate to that. I'm just speaking in human terms. The Bible says where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. It's not enablement. It's not to keep sin alive. What happens is God so loves you and knows who he created you to be. And when you live outside of that purpose, he groans for you. He grieves for you to walk in the truth. He doesn't want to see you bound and frustrated in all the things he never created you to be. He wants you to enjoy him and walk in the truth and walk in the light as he's in the light. So where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. Why? His love's way greater than our weakness, our failure, and even our willfulness. God is seeking to draw your heart back to him and see the truth and let the truth make you free. Of course he wants sin to end in our lives. Not you bite your lip and try not to do that anymore. Begin to see who you are and make the tree good so the fruit changes. And all of a sudden your life is a product of grace and all glory goes to God. And you're not just some super enigma Christian. You're just a believer. And you realize you were created for more than living for yourself and praying for yourself and just wanting everybody to treat you right. You were actually created for his image and you were created to love. Come on. If we get this, it changes everything. Your days of down and out are over. You won't let anything matter more if you just start believing this. You can't be a Christian for you. You have to be a Christian for his image. That's how it's set up and designed by God. If you're just a Christian to catch a break, get a blessing, get a pay raise, or have things go your way. No, you're going to live like this, up and down, get confused and draw back. But if you're a Christian for why he sent his son, to be restored back to the beginning, back to where God's Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, comes and lives in you. He wants to live in us, guys. He made every one of us to live inside of us. Let me tell you something, young people. The Bible says there's a time to be born. And here you sit. You must be the will of God. He's the author and giver of life, and life's in you. You must be His purpose and plan. You're not happenstance. You're here on purpose. You're here with a destiny to walk out His image and sow seed into the hearts of men. Suicide, I hear it all the time in the young generation. It's the biggest tragedy on the earth. You know why? People are deceived into taking something that's not even theirs. They're taking His life in them. He created you for Him to live in you and manifest His great name. We have become so self-centered in the fall of man that we've made it all. It's my life. It's my feelings. It's my... No, it's not it at all. And all of a sudden you get so overwhelmed, so angry, so lost, so whatever, that all of a sudden you get deceived into taking something that's not even yours. It's not your life. It's His life in you. That's what you're taking. You're closing the door to His life in you, to legacy and to destiny. So if anybody has those, let me just be raw with it, okay? Those crazy thoughts going through their head, don't justify them. Because when you look at those thoughts, they take life, not give life, so they can't be the Lord. They can never be. You just look at the way you're thinking and the way your mind works. If it's not producing life and encouraging you, you can't be on the track of truth. You're just thinking some other way, and it's probably the way that seems right. And then you talk to two hurting friends, and they understand because they're hurting, and they nod their head and verify and justify your feelings. And now you have a new little group of peers in your trauma, and nobody changes. They're just supported to stay the same. And all of a sudden somebody becomes a villain and others are victims and nobody wins. Guys, every person in this room, young and old alike, we don't have to live this way. Jesus changes things. He's the truth and He makes us free. But I've learned this in 21 years and I'm real adamant and strong about it. You have to decide in your own individual heart what you're going to do with a fellow that's talking like this. You have to decide what you're going to do in your own soul, in your own life, and if you're going to begin to embrace these truths and let them walk out your life. And even if you stumble and get into weakness and get confused, you got to be willing to talk to the Lord about staying on track and wanting to walk this out and not letting anything change your mind and deceive you. I prayed a prayer when I first got saved. I remember it like it was yesterday because I know He loves me. So I'm not afraid to pray this way. I say, Holy Spirit, if you ever see me just bending off track, just going in a way that you haven't desired or designed, kick me in the butt if you have to because I know you love me, but don't let me miss you. And then I'd say this, I have more confidence in your ability to keep me than me to miss it because you love me. And nobody's in the room. And guess who's there? My friend. Yay. That's what's wrong with me. Living that way. And actually, it's because I'm either the most deceived man you ever met or he's real. I either need somebody to sit me down and minister to me and help me or I'm free. Time will tell one day. But I got all my chips on free. You know why? Because I live with me. You just see me preach. But I sleep with me and wake with me. And I live within my own heart and mind. And I have no trouble looking at my eyes in the mirror and saying, whoa, you're awesome. Jesus really loves you. To the Father, you're worth His blood. And He loves to live in you, sir. I don't do it anymore because I just believe it. There was a season in my life I'd look in the mirror and talk to myself all the time. I'd walk by a full-length mirror. I'd be heading out the door and I'd go, whoa, are you kidding me? I'd say, sir, you're filled with the Spirit of God. I'd get close. I'd look right in my eyes. I'd say, I see His light in your countenance. His love is in your eyes, sir. I understand that you understand you've been made right in His sight. And I'd just talk to the full-length mirror, to that man I was looking at. And you know how it usually ended up? I'd say, man, what are you doing standing here? The world out there needs what I see in you. Man, you're going to have an awesome day. And if you high-five in the mirror, the guy always will high-five you back. Today, fist bumps in, you know. He'll never play you. He'll never do nothing. If you fist bump the guy in the mirror, it's always coming. You just, you know? I'm serious. It'd be good to believe that instead of your feelings, your emotions that haven't been renewed. The thing that somebody said they wouldn't do, but they did it. Now what? Now you'll find out what you really believe and why you're alive and what's going on inside of you. Because all of a sudden you're going to let just one person say something that you were counting on them not saying, and you're going to let it wreck a day of your destiny? No way. No way! Don't you let it be you. I'm not passionate and excited like this because everything's gone the way I hoped along the way. It's not because my family's always made the right decisions and the people in my life always did right things. I've watched close Christians make terrible mistakes. It doesn't change the truth. We're not following one another apart from Jesus, guys. We're following Jesus first. There's so many people hurt by church, hurt by other people, hurt by pastors, hurt by leaders. It just shows that we need to grow up into Him. What are you all hurt by? You got your eyes on the wrong things. So now you're just another hurt person. So you're out of the equation. You're not on the enrollment to walk in love because you're hurt. So now the best you can do is go to church and sing Christian songs. But you can't walk in love, and that's why you're here. And you can't really have an impact because you become a ministry in need of ministry instead of a minister through your life. Come on, I'm not saying these things to be condemning, to be raw and sober, shocking, to say, wait a minute, I'm not going to sell cheap if I'm not for sale. Yes. If I was bought with a price, then I'm bought. And I'm not going to let a lack of understanding. Proverbs 4 says, in all you're getting. It doesn't say get blessing, and it doesn't say get a better friend. In all you're getting, get understanding. We grew up hearing what you don't know won't hurt you. The Bible says what you don't know is destroying you. See, you grew up, well, if I were you, I wouldn't get my hopes up. The Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for. That hope, Hebrews 6, is the anchor of your soul. It passes through the veil into His presence. Come on, you've heard these phrases. Well, what you see is. Yeah, see, we've heard it. It don't matter what state you go to. Everybody can finish that line. The Bible says don't ever live by what you see. What you see is subject to change. But the things unseen are eternal. Yeah. You say, well, you made your bed. You got a lie in it. He made me a brand new one with clean sheets. And I've been sleeping in it for 20 years. Yeah. It's the gospel. So what do you believe? I'm not being mean and cynical when I say, well, you're going to believe your feelings? Here's the danger of it. We don't realize this. I've heard countless Christians say this in my Christian life. They hear you preach and they say, well, brother, I can't be a robot. I have emotions. God gave us emotions. Watch this. Bear with me. God didn't give you the emotions you grew up with. Adam gave you those. We relate to a fallen man. We've studied a fallen man. We've all been a fallen man. And we think it's normal. And the only reason you're quick to anger and frustrated and discouraged, because it's all about you. But Jesus made you for His image. And Jesus said, if any man come after me, He didn't say, if any man come after me, let him pray a prayer to go to heaven. He didn't say, if any man come after me, let him make sure his name's in a book called life. He didn't say, if you die tonight and don't know where you're going, make sure you raise your hand and pray this prayer. Everybody close their eyes and pray this prayer. He said, if any man come after me, let him deny himself. Why? You were never made for you. You were made for His image. What happened when man ate the tree, young people, listen carefully. When Adam ate the tree, he said, the day you eat the tree is the day you surely die. The image of God got perverted into the very image of man apart from God. Adam didn't just sin, he took on the nature of God's enemy and became completely selfish and full of pride. Man got perverted. And he needs born again. Because every man since that day was born into Adam. You must be born Again, somehow we've turned that into a prayer that takes us to heaven instead of a life transformed. It was never just about going to heaven. It was about getting back to truth. He's the Redeemer. He brings you back to original value. Even the Bible doesn't say Jesus is the way to heaven like we preach. It says He's the way back to the Father. Yes, yes. Of course we have everlasting life. Of course I'm excited about that. But I'm one with the Eternal One. That's why I'll never die. He'll never leave me or forsake me. His love will never fail. Everlasting life isn't the carrot and the goal. A life transformed is. I don't have to live for me anymore. I can live for His image and His great name. Come on, that's what makes you a believer. You have to decide, is that what I'm in this for? Or am I in this for what I can get from Him? Or am I in this for how I can become more like Him? Because that's where the blessing is in your life. That's where freedom comes from. See, you're not free until you're free from yourself in that view. If you're a Christian, for you, you'll never walk in the freedom we sing about. You'll only be as good as life is going and as you're feeling and as people are treating you. But if you understand what I'm saying and step into faith and say, wait a minute, this is why I'm alive, you'll know freedom in the face of it all. Come on, there's no such thing as a bad day in Jesus. It's just the opportunity to shine anyway. You say, but you don't know what I'm going through. What did He go through? Maybe that should matter more. Maybe what I've become now that He's come is a higher place to live. Are you guys with me? So why did Jesus do what He did? To redeem that truth. Isn't this amazing? That Jesus and the Father think so much of our creative value that He would come and live totally pure, totally perfect, and die as a sinner. That His body would get beat beyond description and hang literally on a cross. Guys, let's make sure that's not just an Easter story. Let's just make sure it's not just part of the Christian faith. There was such a revelation there. He became what we were. God didn't curse His Son on the cross. He cursed sin in the flesh. And sin shall have no dominion over me. I don't wake up and think about sin or try not to sin. I wake up and I'm excited I'm a son, that He's in me, that He loves me, that He sees me righteous in His sight. And you know what that is? That's called a good tree without me trying to be good. I'm just a believer. And if you make a tree good, guess what? Fruit's good without me trying. I'm called a believer. Just good. Look, you wouldn't even care about these things if your heart wasn't alive. You would never pull a youth leader aside and confess something to him and weep if you weren't sincere inside. Sometimes we do bad things and we come to our leaders and cry, I can't believe it. And we're beat up for it and we're identified through the failure. I look at people and say, man, I can see how pure your heart's become, and I'm so excited how the gospel is. Like, pure, didn't you hear what I just said I did? Well, I heard that, and we'll talk about it in a minute, but I'll tell you what I see. I see who you are. And I see God's doing a work in you, because there was a time you'd have done that and wouldn't even blinked, and now you see it for what it is. The gospel's changing you. That's just good, Pastor, right there. That sure beats, you did what? You can't do that. Well, you're going to misrepresent His name and be a hypocrite. You got to stop. And then they go, okay. And fail. And now they can't get up because they're crushed, because now they are what they did instead of they are what He did. Come on. Some people live in condemnation. There might be people in this room. You're still going through the motions. You're still doing the Jesus thing, but you don't feel good about yourself because of some things you know about yourself. And then it's condemning you and pressing you down. But watch this. The fact that you even can be condemned and believe, even though condemnation's a lie, the fact that you're receiving and believing it means you're alive inside. Because if you weren't, it would have no place to land. You just wouldn't care. So we still have something to work with. It's called His unfailing love and the truth that'll make you free. So condemnation's a zero. Guilt and shame is a zero. It's the world's way of thinking. There's regret in it and there's no life. The fact that you could even be condemned means there's something alive in you. You just need truth and understanding and take the veil off and run to Him. Stop running from Him. Come on. That's for every one of us in this room, from the youngest to the oldest, so we can understand that. It's time to run to Him. I understand we can comfort one another, but boy, wouldn't it be awesome to just find your comfort in Him, period. and know the truth in Him, period. And in a weak moment, you know how to just run to Him and realize that's not what I'm created to be. That's not what I'm created to believe. And I'm not going to let this matter anymore. I'm going to let what matters most matter more. And all of a sudden, grace starts shaping you and forming you. And your eye stays clear because your eye's the lamp of your body, guys. If you see clear, you'll live clear. So here's the bottom line of what I'm crying out tonight. Man, they give me the honor of just kicking this thing off. Miss Sherry's going to come tomorrow and just tear it up. And just... You are, aren't you? Good. She's confidently in Jesus. Said, yes. It's awesome. So good to see you. I'm laying a foundation. Listen, guys, we could do a youth conference, thrive. We can wear the shirts. But if we don't understand exactly why He came and who that causes us to be now that He came, we're going to do a lot of things in His name and miss the freedom that we're called to and miss the impact and the influence in others. I'm just telling you guys, okay, I'm going to say it like this because I feel confident this is the Lord. You can understand what I'm saying and begin to get alone in a room and you can talk to God about this. You could get alone in a room. I'm not against technology. I'm just not a technical guy, but I'm not against it. There's a blessing to it. But don't just learn how to use it in a blessing, but shut it off. Just shut it off for a minute and get alone in a room, especially after a night like tonight. And you just say, okay, Lord, my life has to have value because I'm alive. See, you guys are old enough to know this. See, there's like a woman conceives, man and woman come together and a woman conceives from a man. So if you do the, you know, if you do the health study, the biological side of it, there's like 500 million sperm cells racing to the egg inside the woman, and only one gets there and gets in, and it was you. Come on. 500 million swimming to an egg, and it was you. And you think you're insignificant? You're not here because a man went into a woman. You're here because God saw your day. You're predestined before time to be adopted in as His. He gives life. And if your life wasn't His will, you wouldn't be sitting here. It would be one of those other 499 whatever million. So you're not one in millions. You're one of millions. Your day was seen before it was seen. I believe that. He wrote and numbered your days in His book. And here you sit with life inside, with a heart beating, with a destiny in front of you. Man, let's not misunderstand the day we're in. And let's just not make it about feeling good, being in the right places, trying to hold it cool, and then missing the whole point. You could be such an example to one another. We can live this thing. I need some names. What's your name? Brandon? Yeah. Nick? Brandon, Nick, and Brandon. This made it easy. See, I was like, Lord, you're going to have to help me remember these names in this illustration. But I got two Brandons and a Nick. So I can do this. So even if I forget and use Brandon twice, I'm covered. Isn't that awesome? Okay, you guys, part of a youth group. Born again? Jesus live inside of you? If He doesn't, we'll pray. No, is He in you? Good, you born again? Okay, I got Nick, I got Brandon, I got Brandon. Let me paint a little illustration. So they're buddies. They're hanging out. When you're buddies, you just have some hidden, unspoken, I should say, expectations about just trust, dependable, you know, accountability, whatever. And you just kind of, without saying, assume some things in relationships. Who knows that's true at some level? So you got Brandon, Nick, and Brandon, and they're hanging out. And who wants to be, I'm glad to let you choose, who wants to be, like, for this illustration, who wants to be the guy that, like, messed up? Who's bold and wants to take the hit and just say, I'll be the one. Nick said, it's me, man. I'll play Jesus on this, man. Okay, he's just going to take it for the boys. Okay, so Nick and Brandon are hanging out and there's a situation that goes down and all of a sudden he confides in Nick. Brandon confides in Nick and they're like, yeah, okay, wow. And all of a sudden Nick leaves that situation. It seems cool. And they do the Jesus, hey, we'll pray and whatever. And then all of a sudden, Nick finds somebody else and he says, hey, you can't believe what Brandon told me, man. And he just, and they say, he did what? They said, yeah. And all of a sudden, what he shared in confidence, Nick is just sharing with whoever. And all of a sudden, Brandon finds it out, and he begins to get insecure and hurt, and he begins to go, and he runs over to his other buddy, Brandon, because these three are like musketeers, you know. They're like the boys. They're together. And he says, "You can't believe what Nick did to me, man. This stuff happens all the time, guys." And all of a sudden, if this Brandon doesn't understand, he's just going to get caught up in the saga of it all. And the rightness and the wrongness. He's going to say, "He did what? Man, he should know better. I can't believe he did that to you, dude. You must be tore up." "Yeah, man, I'm hurt. Oh, man. Nick, he ain't this and he ain't that. And he says this." And now, if Brandon ain't careful, his heart is what? Hard towards. And all of a sudden, here you got Nick deciding who both Brandons are. And both Brandons are so busy being right that they're letting it happen because they believe Nick is wrong. Let me flip it. Bring Jesus into it. Bring some young men that are growing in this truth that I'm preaching. And all of a sudden, Brandon catches wind of what Nick did. And all of a sudden, he discovers him in prayer. And he's like, "Listen, man, God, I'm surprised Nick did this. I know deep in his heart he knows better. He's so much more of a man than that in you. I don't know what caused him to go off and do this and do that. But God, whatever's going on in him, I ask you to work a good thing," et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then this Brandon finds out and he catches it through the grapevine and he runs to Brandon. And he says, "Hey," because Brandon didn't run to this Brandon to tell him. Hello? He catches wind of it. He goes to this Brandon and says, "Hey, what's up? What's going on with Nick, man? I heard he said this and did this and some things are coming down on you and you confessed some things and held it in confidence and now he's just blabbing it and he posted this and posted that. What's going on, man?" "Yeah, he did. He did? No way." And all of a sudden this Brandon, he's not like, "Well, man, we need to." He's like, "Man, we need to pray for him. I'm not sure what's going on with Nick right now, but he must be having some things stirred up in him. He must be having some stuff going on, man, because that ain't our Nick. And let's just believe God for him if we get a chance to talk to him." So they finally get a chance to talk to Nick. And then he, "How did you do that to me? And I can't believe you." Are you guys making any sense of this? There's a way that seems right. And you can let it go down the way we've always, almost always, let it go down. But be real with me. That way has never produced life. It's always at the expense of each other. And I promise you, and you know this by now, nobody ever wins. But that second little example, just a brief little general example, is going to start saving face, protecting hearts, protecting views. And who knows, no matter what went down, a friendship can continue, move forward, grow and mature. And walk through anything. You guys with me? I'm going to say probably the strongest thing I've said tonight. We can sing the greatest songs that have ever been written. We can have the greatest gatherings and meetings and the lights and the whole deal. If we miss those simple things, we're going to miss the point of why he's inside of us. He's not in you to feel better. He's not in you to just have peace at night. He's in you to become like him and walk like him and love like him. That's why he's in you. I'm just telling you, the whole goal of our instruction, 1 Timothy 1:5, is love. And if we miss love, we've missed why he came. He didn't come to take care of your stuff. He came to change you and make you like him. He didn't just come to make sure you get a better job and don't go through a hard time. He came to get you out of you and into him. So if you deny yourself, you pick up, now you're following him. If you don't deny yourself, you never pick up your cross. What's that mean? Picking up your cross means taxi through everything, every injustice, every unfairness, and never let sin against you produce sin in you. Never repay evil for evil, overcome evil with good. Never let what people don't see determine what you do see, but walk in the light and see. That's called carry your cross, guys. And I just apologize to some of us, the older folks too. Some of us, when we came into this thing, we haven't been taught this stuff. I don't know about you, but it's really, there's a revelation on here. God is doing a new thing in the sense that He's making this thing clearer than ever before. My whole life, all I ever heard was He died on the cross because I was a sinner. No preacher ever told me He died to redeem my value and restore the truth back inside of me. And we're going to pray in a minute here, but I want you to look at something. On the cross, He was made to be sin. Isaiah 52 says He was marred more than any of the sons of men. That means when they were done beating Jesus, He looked worse at the hands of men than any man ever looked. Now you think with me about the barbaric, sadistic things people have done. When they were done with Jesus, guys, this is not an Easter story. Come on, some of us, I'm not being smart and mean, I'm being relatable. Some of us get our feelings hurt because somebody said something bad about us. He got beat beyond description and deserved none of it. Beat beyond, I'm talking unrecognizable. If He was marred more than any of the sons of men, that means the worst of men, they used to dip Christians in wax and light them on fire. Back in the early days of the church. I bet when that fire went out, you couldn't tell who those people were. They were marred at the hands of men. It says Jesus was worse. When they were done with Jesus, no one was ever marred more than He. Why am I camping here? I want you to get that picture. That when they were done, there's no way you could tell who He was. You couldn't tell if He was a man or a woman, if He was even a man. I saw a picture of a child that got miraculously healed that was in a car accident, 70 mile an hour head on with no brakes. Bam. And when I saw the picture of the little girl, 3-year-old, on the hospital bed, there's no way you could tell it was a person. It was that bad. It was black and blue, whatever. It didn't even look like a girl or a person. She was so swollen and mangled. God supernaturally restored her and healed her and everything. It was just crazy good. But on the picture, you would go, don't tell me that's a person. The Bible says Jesus was worse. Why? Why did it have to be so barbaric? Why did it have to be so intense? Why couldn't they just 39 stripes, a few spikes, and let Him die? Here's why. Because when sin got done with man in the garden, he didn't look anything like he was created to look. He had lost his appearance. And Jesus took on the image of man so that we could take on the image of God. The Bible says that God was there and He pulled away and Jesus said, why have you what? Was He separated from God on the cross? Do you guys know that to be true? Why have you, guess what our promise is that we hold to all the time? He will never leave me or... Everything Jesus did has a parallel to gain redemption for us. He was separated, so we're forever joined. He died, so we'll forever live. How about this one? Right at the end, before He said it's finished and died, guess what He said? He said, I'm thirsty. We think He needs a cup of water. What's He saying? I'm separated from God and I don't feel the completeness that you find in Him. I'm thirsty. If you come to Him, you'll never... Jesus was made thirsty so you never... It's all there, guys. He who knew no sin was made to be sin. God did not curse His Son. He made His Son to be what we were so we could be what He is. It is not a prayer to go to heaven. It's not so you have covenant rights to pray blessings. All that seems to be a part of this covenant, but it's so you can be transformed. Live from a different place, a different eye, a different heart. Have a brand new reason for being. And literally get bold with it and believe that your days of despair, discouragement, frustration, judgment, and compromise are over because you get alone with Him and you believe the honor of this message that He's made you for so much more than you ever knew. He made you to live for His glory, not your name, to live for His image, not your feelings. So that's why I said God didn't give you the emotions you grew up with. Adam gave you those. Every one of your emotions and my emotions before Christ were hinged on thinking for myself. When you start thinking for His kingdom, your whole emotional makeup gets redeemed and restored back. That's why Jesus says to not fear. Just think about it. Nobody had to teach you how to get angry. You didn't have to go to school and learn, take a test and pass. Just sheer instinct. Why would you get angry? Because you're thinking of whatever you're angry at, you're thinking about how it's affecting you personally. I'm just being real. It's the loneliest place you'll ever live. Unless a seed dies and falls to the ground, it's alone. But if it dies, it'll spring up and bear much fruit. Come on, guys. Every one of you is old enough to understand what I'm saying. And hopefully you older ones are young enough to hear what I'm saying. That you don't have so much life under your belt. You say, wait a few more years, brother. Somebody will cool you off. And if it ain't happened by now, it ain't happening. I'm just telling you. There's lines of no return. There's a place for seeing Him and becoming like Him. We don't have joy because everyone's always done us right. We have joy in our salvation. We have joy in Him. And the Bible says it's unspeakable. So that's the message of the cross. He died to redeem us back to everything we were created to be. I love what Pastor Matt's doing. I love that all you other youth groups showed up here. I saw different leaders in vans, and I was like, wow, people, you really invited. He said, yeah, I sent out a lot, and they really came. I'm glad you all came. I'm just being stark and raw and bold about this. We can get all the conference right, but if we miss living truth every day, and we get our eyes off of that thing, we'll get moved away from what it's really all about. And all of a sudden, you're back to feeling sorry for yourself, being hurt, saying it's not fair. Well, why did they have to? And if Jesus had that mindset, He'd have never been able to do what He did. I don't know about you guys, but the integrity of this gospel, I don't just want to pray to Him when I'm troubled. I want to follow Him. He's worth following. And if I can't see it in His life, then I have to be the own steward of my life and say, then I don't want to see it in mine. Because as He is, so are we in the world. Come on, it's Christianity, guys. It's all through the Scripture. The things I do, you'll do if you believe. Yeah? So when you get born again, guess what you're doing? You're getting free from yourself. You're getting free from others so you can finally live in Him and seek ye first the kingdom of God. I used to think when I was young that people and the devil were the problem. Jesus taught me living for myself was the problem because it gave all those other things a place to land in my life. People and the devil aren't the problem. It's men living for themselves when they were created for His image. Look, you don't put metal in a microwave, do you? Come on, guys. Read the manufacturer's handbook. Read the directions. Do you put metal in a microwave? I mean, if you do, what happens? Whoo! And you hit the switch quick, don't you, to shut her off. Did you ever do it by accident? Yeah. It's like, oh yeah. You know, it's like, it just wasn't made for metal. So it's like, and but if you kept putting metal in a microwave, what would you do to the microwave in short time? Blow it up, man. Watch this. You read the manufacturer's handbook called The Word of God. Men weren't made to live for themselves. They were made for His image. And if you keep living for yourself, you're going to blow up your life and have a million reasons why. And maybe it's just because we haven't believed and followed Him. Look, I'm sorry some of us didn't have good home lives. I'm sorry some people touched us wrong. I am. I just wish some of us didn't have the stories we have. But I promise you, we have stories in this room. But if we get reduced to finding who's been through the most hell, we're deceived when we're singing it's all about heaven if we're letting that matter more. I'm not being insensitive. I'm being real. We all have stories, guys. You can't say, well, you don't know what I've been through. You don't know what the person two down's been through. It might be twice as horrendous in the natural.
Guys, I was in a service preaching like this, and a girl was sitting there who was 6 years old and watched militant men with machetes kill her mom, her dad, and her 11 siblings, hang them on a wire according to age as a sign to never serve Jesus. And you think you got trouble. There's always somebody through a little bit more hell. And I was preaching like this, only 10 times more intense on the topic, and I didn't know why. Guys, if I knew her story, I wouldn't have said a word. I'd have just trembled. But I didn't know her story. And God had me, you're letting all these things decide who you are. The traumas, the tragedy. You're letting the strategy of sin produce sin in you. And you were letting it win and wipe out generation after generation. And all we have is a bunch of hurt people, mad people, angry people, discouraged people, praying to God for peace. And mad at him because it hasn't come. And I mean, I'm letting it rip. And she goes into convulsions. Threw up and everything. It was gross. I wish it wouldn't be like that. She went into convulsions and we didn't know what was going on. They just wrapped her arms around and loved her. Here's what happened to her. She's sitting there listening to me and she goes in her heart. She said, oh no. I've been so, because she's 20 something now and she's turned from God because she's 6 and she watches her family get killed. And in a 6-year-old, as she's growing up, and intellect and rationale, God left it happen. God didn't save them. God killed my family. Where's her heart? It isn't in the Lord. Somehow she got to church. These people said, you just come and listen to this fellow. They were working with her and loving on her, and she was receiving love, so she came. It's just a setup from the Lord. I can tell you in my whole Christian life, I never preached more passionate on the topic than the day that girl was in the room. And her story was frightening. I'd have never shared if I knew her story. You get it? Here's what she said. She said in her heart. She said, oh my goodness, I've been so deceived. I've got my eyes on the wrong things. I've been mad at the wrong one. 11 children didn't die that day. 12 did. Forgive me, God. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon her and delivered her from all this stuff and infirmity and demonic stuff that had been raging her heart for years. Nobody laid hands on her. The truth came and made her free. Her eyes opened and she was blind, but now she sees. Yay. It's just good. I don't know about you. But if what you're believing and thinking isn't producing life, you're being deceived. Yes. If you're not encouraged, there's something you're not seeing quite right. You got your eyes on something a little too strong. You're still waiting for somebody to do you right and it already happened. Yeah. You're still waiting for somebody to make sure they don't do you wrong and it doesn't matter. How's that for just good, strong stuff? Because what that does is it puts you in a place of faith. Or you're back to the old degenerate feelings that never done any one of us good. We pray for each other all the time because we live by our feelings. Well, I need prayer. Well, I don't feel. Well, what about what we believe? There's a place that believing will take you there, guys. So in closing, I'm going to say this. Every person in this room is worth the blood of Jesus. Every person in this room was created for God's image. Some people think life is tough and a dread and just plodding along. Just, man, life is so whatever. Fill the blank. I've heard it all. Life is a gift. And you got this one little window to leave a legacy and bring glory to the King. But I promise you, if you live life for a reason outside of why you're created, that's why it's so tough, because you're living apart from grace. Why would God empower what he didn't create you for? Are you guys with me? Why would God empower? Why would he put gas in the tank for you to run down roads that weren't made for you? Come on, every one of you are made for his image. It's time to believe him. Look, I know it's a youth conference. I don't even do this stuff. People that know me know I don't. I'm not a big altar call guy. Really not. I used to be. I used to actually be a lot of things. I've changed a lot over the years. I used to have altar calls all the time. And I found myself counseling the same people over and over and over and over. That laid on the floor and screamed and said they were on fire over and over and over. I started realizing it's not always encounter. We always say one touch. and you'll never be the same. I know that's some testimonies. I feel like that's my testimony. But along with that touch came the power of truth. And the truth made me free. And I've had a million opportunities like you have to change my mind. But I'm not going to change my mind. And I don't want you to change yours either. I know I saw some of the teenage shows that are on nowadays. And some of you guys might be older than watching some of them shows. Some of you might still be watching them. They're on Nick Channel and all that stuff. There's teenage shows everywhere. But it's amazing that when you look at it, it's so subtle. It's and I'm not harping on TV. What I'm saying is there's a message there that just keeps it normal. And it's just saga and who said what and who's in and who did what and who heard who and gossip and talk. And all of a sudden, it's just this message of this just the way it is. But it's not true, guys. You have to be careful with that stuff. It's so subtle. It sends a message that's not true. And all of a sudden, you're feeling the same way and justified because that's what you're believing. We have altar calls a lot in the church and want to pray for people because we say the week was tough. You know, I know people this, and especially adults, we say your work probably is strenuous. Your boss might have did it, and some of you got wore down a long way. Come on, let's just pray for you to be. And we pray for the brokenhearted in the body of Christ a lot. I understand sometimes people's hearts need healed. But here's what I've become a teacher of, why you don't have to have a broken heart. You don't have to have a broken heart. Your best friend could do the worst thing and it doesn't change truth. So why do you let it change you? Why don't you cry for your friend instead of cry because of your friend? Why don't we follow Jesus instead of the way it seems? Because the way that seems right doesn't lead to life, but He sure does. Now you think about it. Never did anything wrong, got beat beyond description and put on a tree. He must think a lot of our lives in Him. Because I've learned this about us along the years. Nobody pays a high price for nothing. Especially us adults really understand this. When you're younger, you might not get this, but you'll get it as you get older. When we write the check for something, we believe what we're getting in exchange, the purchase possession, is well worth the price. I know you bargain hunters. I know you 2-for-1. I know you buffet all you can eat $9.99. What I'm saying is, if you open the wallet, if you swipe the credit card, if you open the checkbook, you believe what you're getting in return is worth what you're giving. Well, He shed the blood of His Son for you and me. You wouldn't pay $50,000 for a $20,000 car. Why? It's not good business. It's not worth it. But He shed His blood for you. That's a statement, people, that we either believe, I'm being real, or we don't. And at some point, you got to decide, what do I believe? Am I going to take this gift called life and give it back to Him so that who He is can live in me and I can grow in that truth? And leave a legacy and bring glory to His name. Am I just going to get... See, when you think you're in control, when you think you're driving the car, it's just such a dilemma. Nobody's in control of their life. You're always what you are because of something. It's just the way it is. I don't care how independent you believe you are. The reason you feel that way is because of a reason. What I'm telling you is, like it or not, we're being shaped and molded by something. I want it to be the great potter, not life. I want it to be Him, not stuff. Well, I'm mad at God because He let me go through this. No, 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 stop. Wrong questions. We ask, well, if God's good, how come? If God wasn't good, why do you send His Son when we're yet sinners? Come on. The only reason you can challenge God like that is because of the fall of man. Every time they ask Him a question from the wrong heart, He asks them a question. You look in your Bible. I've heard it countless. Well, God, I'm mad at God. Stop. That's the fall of man. That's thinking for yourself and how it affected you. That's what that little girl did because of her 11 siblings. You say, well, I'm mad because my father was never there for me. He's there for you now. He's called God the Father. And He actually said, call no man on earth your father. You have one father. He's in heaven. You wouldn't even have a biological dad if God didn't see your day. So why don't you get back to purpose and truth? Here's what I'm going to do. I don't do it often, but I'm going to do it in this service because it seems funny. It's a youth service. It's a Christian meeting. But it just seems like there's somebody could be here that you're not born again. They're coming back tomorrow night. There's a baptismal right over there under where that lady's painting. Tomorrow night, they'll have that thing pulled off and you come on back here and they'll celebrate during worship and baptize you during worship. If you would come up here, if you've never been born again. I'm not talking about backslidden. I'm not talking about I've been away from the Lord. Somehow you're here. A friend brought you. You came. You're just hanging out with the youth group. But you never got born again along the way. You never said, wow, I've been living for me. I've been living for myself. I've been around the right things, saying something right, but I've never given myself back to God so that who He is can come in me. Get water baptized, go under and die so I can live. See, because when you go under the water, you die to everything you've ever been. So that by His grace, you become everything He created you to be. And then you begin to walk out that truth. It's a powerful thing. So I don't want you to be shy or ashamed in here. I just feel like I need to make this an opportunity tonight. If you've never been born again, I'm talking never been born again and baptized. I'm not talking about backslid. I'm talking about never saved. You be bold and come on up here so we can pray with you. And I'm being real about the water baptism thing. I want to get you water. They'll have clothes. You can bring your own clothes if you come back tomorrow. If you're insistent, we'll make it happen tonight. But it seemed in my heart that somebody needed to get saved during worship and get water baptized during worship tomorrow. I just saw it powerful. So don't hold out. If your heart's thumping, it's you. Why would you sit there? If your heart's thumping, it's you. So just come on up. I don't care if it's one. People that know me know I don't do these altar calls too much. So I just see people get saved actually a lot in my life. They email me, they call me. Something about you giving your life to Him from your heart. I just talked to a man who watched a video on redemption who had hepatitis. He got so touched by the truth, he was crying. He put the phone on his liver while I was praying for somebody with hepatitis. He got completely healed. He got all his blood work back. He doesn't have it. There's something about being sincere. I'll be real with you. There's actually a few young men. It's not just one. There's three or four young men. There's two at least young ladies. So now I'm up to about six people. You've never been born again. I need you to come on up here. Be bold. We love you. I want you to come and give your life to Him. Not pray a prayer to go to heaven. Honestly, I wish somebody to talk to me like this when I was young. If you're an adult, you can come up here too, but I know there's some youth here. It just happens to be here. This was on my heart in worship. That's why I'm going with it. Come on. Get born again tonight. Don't be shy. Get up here. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That's good, man. I'm proud of you. No, that's good. You can cry. Don't fight it. Come on. Get up here. Thank you. Bless you. Bless you. Come on, you know it's you. Why would you not join them? Just get up here, please. That's good, man. No, I'm so proud of you. You have no idea. Bless you. Bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you. Bless you. Bless you, honey. Yeah, stand with him, Matt. Come on, I need you up here. 1, 2, 3. I know when I hear numbers. I just do. I know when I hear numbers, and I'm not. You can hear this, Eric, if you want. I'm not wrong on this one. I just know. I need three more young men right now. Why would you stay in your chair? Get up here and get right with God so you can live free, so you can leave a legacy. And I'm telling you, we're going to pray over you, and God's going to bring change to your life. I need one more young lady, and I need three more men. I'd like to wait for you. Get up here quick. Don't make us wait long. Please run up here. Come on. Don't make me flee. Just come. Please, Lord. Please, God. So good. I'm so proud of you guys. We're just waiting on a couple more because they're just holding back a little. Guys, don't fight it. Why would you fight it? If your heart's pounding, it's you. Just come. Yeah, that's right. Come. Come on. Come. You say you're pleading. Yeah, if you believed what I believe, I'm pleading. I believe it'll change your life, save your life. Thank you, man. Thank you, honey. Oh, my goodness, guys. Thank you. Ah. Thank you, beautiful. Thanks for coming. Okay. I know I got my girls. Why would the guys hold out? Come on. I need two more guys. I know you're here. I just know it. I'm only going to give you like 10 more seconds and then we're going to pray for these people. So please come up. Please come up. Are you serious? Little buddy. Ah. You've been listening? Making sense to your heart? You just felt like, I need to get up there. You just did that on your own. Oh my goodness, look at this guy. He needed to come up here, he said. Good for you. We're going to pray here in a minute. Hey, that was my last note. I'm kidding. Come on, Jesus. Please, Jesus, move on that heart. Please be bold and come up here. Why would you hold out? If this young man could come up here, and these folks come up here, and this first fella come up, and he's still just standing there crying because he said, man, this is me. I know there's one more young man. I heard four young men, teenage men, and young men, and three ladies. I got the ladies. I was just in a service, and I was calling out for diabetes. And I said, I'm telling you, God's coming to heal. I just got bold. And I said, there was seven. John, you were in the meeting. How long? It took a long time to get number seven. But she was there, wasn't she? And she just said it was hard. She just didn't think she could say. And she just sat there and I just kept pleading. And I said, I started to cry. I think that's what got her. I started to cry. I said, don't you understand? I know you're here and God won't move forward till you stand. That's how valuable you are. And she stood up. You coming? Come on. Come here. I want to hug you. Come here. Ah, thanks for coming. Just stand here. It's okay. Okay. I want a youth leader to come and stand behind this man. Just stand and pray with him. We're going to pray together. Thanks for coming. Was it hard? It was hard? You're wrestling, huh? Back and forth. But you knew in your heart you wanted to get up here, didn't you? Amen. Listen, in your life, if you ever go through a struggle where your heart's saying one thing and your emotions are saying another, but your heart's saying one, I just hear this and Lord, you learn to follow your heart. And I feel like God's going to give you a grace to begin to understand things about Him, what He's called you to and what He's created you for. I believe He's going to give you a grace to learn how to live out of your heart, not out of your head. And I believe as you do that, guess what's going to happen? This will get renewed. Okay? So I'm just blessing you with that and I'm just believing that. Okay, are you guys ready? Now listen what we're doing, guys. Oh, this is so awesome. No, this is good. I'm so proud of you. You have no idea. There's tears up here, precious tears and good smiles. Here's the deal. You guys made sense of the word, right? Now listen, look at me. You were never made just for you. You were made for God's image. What an honor. So when we pray, God's Spirit's going to come back into you. He's going to renew you and revive you on the inside and make you live on the inside. Okay? Now, I don't know. Were you guys planning on, was everybody here for the weekend? You all coming back tomorrow night? Are you supposed to be back here tomorrow again, right? Is anybody not showing up tomorrow? You're not going to be able to come? Oh, wow. Okay. Where are you from? Did you come with a group? Okay. So, I'll talk to you about something in a minute. You going to be able to come back or not? So you're not going to be back tomorrow or Saturday. Okay, you coming back tomorrow, my man? Tomorrow? Tomorrow, honey? Yeah? Can you come back tomorrow? Tomorrow? Okay. I want to water baptize you guys if you'll let it. And I'll have somebody, Matt, somebody can, you can tomorrow night get them together and talk. talk to them about the power of water baptism. And here's what we're going to do. I saw this in worship tonight. I saw you guys coming up here. And then I saw us water baptizing you and celebrating during worship.
I mean, it's just too powerful. It's like new life during worship. Yay, Jesus. Let his presence fill out. And then Sherry Cashman just go off the hook and preach. Isn't that awesome?
So we're going to pray right now, okay? And there's somebody standing with you to support you. And then tomorrow, if you want to bring your stuff, if you want to just bring your own clothes to be comfortable, or they got clothes here and they'll take care of it. It's all dark, loose fit and stuff. So if you just want to come, just come. We have stuff for you. We have clothes and towels. So yeah, we can just do it that way. All right? But will you come back and get water baptized tomorrow? It'll be a celebration, man. It'll be a fun time. Okay, and I'll talk to you guys and see what you want to do, okay? Can we pray? Say this, say, Father, I heard your word tonight. You made me for your image, not for my own. You had a really good plan when you made man. And it seems like that plan got changed. But you didn't change. Lord Jesus, I believe you came. I believe you died on a cross. I believe God rose you from the dead. And I believe you want to save me, forgive me, and fill me with your life, and fill me with your Holy Spirit. So, Father, I'm asking you to forgive me of everything I've ever done. Wash me in the blood of Jesus Christ, and fill me with your Holy Spirit. Now, Father, I just thank you for these precious ones. And I just thank you for new life through Jesus Christ. God, I thank you for forgiveness, for mercy, for redemption. Holy Spirit, would you come? That's right. Save these young ones and set them free in every way. And God, I just thank you that you put a comfort and a peace inside of them that only you could bring. That's good. Holy Spirit, come. God bless and touch. Thank you, Jesus. God, you're good. God, you're good. Come on, people, give him a shout. Let's just give you some quick hugs. Okay? If you guys can come tomorrow, as soon as you come, can we just have them like hang out over here? Like when you come, find Matt or one of the people with blue shirt, and then just hang over here in the corner of the steps, and somebody's going to, when we all get together, we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 people. Once you get them, take them, teach them a little bit, and then during worship, I just saw it. Are you okay with that? You think that'll work? That's what I saw, man. Celebrating and doing, okay? So, does any of you, I feel like if you could have a young leader that you know that could just talk to him just a little bit about what, yeah, just to expect what happened. And just counsel him just a tiny bit, 5 minutes. Just give him some encouragement. Actually, you could do it with all of them. Maybe the person that's standing behind him. Just sit him down somewhere in the quiet. Just talk to him just a little bit and pray with him personally. Just 5 minutes. And will you come back and get water baptized? You will, won't you? All right, good. All right. Bless you. Bless you guys. Go ahead. Go back to your seats. Okay, I want to do one more quick thing. I just want to do one more quick thing. And man, I don't want anybody to just get, actually, I could trust Holy Spirit on this, no matter what motivates you. But I'm talking... I want to pray. There's something I want to pray over you guys, and I need you to respond up here so I can just pray something over you. I heard it. You know the circle coming in from York? There's a circle in Abbottstown. It's funny how it works. I wasn't even thinking about the service. I'll be honest, what I was thinking about. I was thinking about taking a 13-year-old next Saturday turkey hunting. And I'm going through the circle thinking if that would work out. And I was actually, because I've been kind of sowing into the family a little bit. And I thought, man, that'll be a blessing. I'll hook up with a 13-year-old and spend some time. And maybe that's a neat thing I can do and stay connected. And I was thinking about that. And I was coming around the circle. And I heard this phrase, grace to pursue. And you remember Phil Cappuccio? I love that guy. He called me out of my chair years ago and spoke over me. It was the truest time. It was the first time and the most powerful time that I knew a man was saying what God was saying. It was so powerful. And I remember, and I've listened to it, and one of the phrases in there was grace to pursue. And I haven't really thought about it or anything, but I was going through the circle up there. And the Lord said to pray the grace to pursue over the young people. And I was like, whoa. And because I know we'd be diligent, study, show ourselves approved, and all that good stuff. But there's a such thing as grace. It's God's working power. But here's the deal. Now listen carefully. You're serious tonight about what I was preaching. And you're saying, you know what? I really don't want to go through the motions. And this isn't some repentance altar call. This is you actually saying, see, because when I preach, I don't preach to show you where you're not. I preach to show you where you're called. It just exposes everything else. It's not, boy, I got a long way to go. It's, wow, I got somewhere to go. But if you're serious tonight about this, and if you don't come up, it doesn't mean you're not serious. You're just saying tonight, this got my attention. I want more and more change. I don't want things that mean nothing to keep stumbling me. I want to become love. I want to live with a clear heart, a clear eye. I want to make a difference in my life, through my life. I want to live the way I just heard this man preach. And I'm going to pray a grace to pursue this over you, that I believe God will actually empower you in the secret place to seek Him, to see, to understand, and bring even these words to your remembrance. So if you're serious about that and you're saying, you know what, I'm done with complaining, frustration, up and down living, I want to live Jesus the way I just heard Him preached, I need you to run on up here right now and be serious about it. Serious about it. I want to pray over you. Come on. Hurry up. We're not going to take long. Get up here. You know if it's you. You know if you want to come up. So get up here quickly. God, I worship you. I'm just going to pray a grace to pursue. I want to encourage you all in relationship with Jesus, okay? It's not just about being touched by God at an altar or through a person. But it's living with Him, guys. It's talking to Him. It's getting to know Him. It's being with Him. Amen? Come on, crowd up here. I don't care how many come up. I want you to be sincere and come up if it's you. Yes, the young in heart can come too. It's not regulated to the teenagers. The young in heart's invited. God, I worship you. Come on, get up here if you're coming. Lift your hands to Him right now. Make this about Him. Just believe right now that He's willing to empower you if you're willing to live this way. Come on. I already see people crying and starting to cry and stuff. It's all good. I don't want any tears. I feel like the Lord said, I don't want any tears of just remorse or sadness or regret. It's not about where you haven't been tonight. It's about where you're going. This isn't even a repentance altar call. This is a, I'm all in. I'm ready to thrive. I'm ready to come after you, God, and I'm not looking back. Come on, lift your hands. Father, I just pray over these people right now, and I just thank you for the grace of God in this room. I thank you for a grace to pursue you, a grace that keeps the heart alive and keeps the eyes wide open. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you come and touch and anoint and minister in a very personal way to every single one that had the faith and the heart to walk up here. Holy Spirit, come. Thank you. God, I ask you to impart a grace to pursue you, to know you, and to never look away. God, keep our eyes fixed on you. Keep our hearts in tune with you. A grace to pursue you, God. You showed me that coming here. When Pastor Phil prayed that over me, it touched me. I believe it changed things. It kept me on track through a lot of things. I'm asking for that same grace to come in this room. A grace to pursue you. Yeah. No one is just self-made. It's not just because you're super disciplined. You be disciplined, but I believe God's going to help us pursue. So Holy Spirit, I ask you right now to come. Without laying hands on all these people, I ask you to come personally and intimately and touch everyone. Thank you. Thank you for your great love. Whatever you want to sing, you can close it out. I'll turn it over to Pastor Matt. Stay here for a little and just let Jesus minister to you and love on you and keep, just commit yourself and just whatever they sing, I want you guys to just enter in and let this thing flow out, all right? Love you guys.